We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Governor Dayton has called for a senior task force in light of the state's failure to protect elderly residents from abuse in senior care. He said it's, quote, appalling, and promises to create a cabinet-level task force to address the issue. This all stems from a five-part Star Tribune investigative report detailing chronic failure by state regulators to investigate incidents of criminal abuse in senior care homes. Every year, hundreds of residents at senior care centers around the state are assaulted, raped, or robbed in crimes that leave lasting trauma and pain for not only the victims but their families. Yet the vast majority of these crimes are never resolved, the perpetrators never punished, because state regulators lack the staff and expertise to investigate them, which just blows my mind. And the more I read the series, the madder I got. And if you read the Star Tribune series, chances are smoke was coming out of your ears, too. I want to thank Chris Sears from Star Tribune, the reporter who worked on this investigative series, for joining us today. Hey, Chris.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You bet. What got you off the dime? Obviously, something tipped you off. Can you talk a little bit about the genesis of this investigative series?
Sure. So, you know, there was no one single event or tip. But about a year ago, we at the Star Tribune started receiving, you know, increased numbers of phone calls and emails from residents of senior care homes across the state, all over the state. And they were describing these, you know, really horrific incidents of abuse, and not just, you know, routine cases of neglect or falls, but, you know, we're talking about criminal abuse, physical assaults, sexual assaults, robberies, and drug thefts that involved multiple residents in a single facility. But really what bothered us even more was that in many of these cases, these families had reported the abuse and nothing was done. There was no investigation, or if there was an investigation, the investigation would drag on for months or even years. And that put, you know, families in a really difficult position, basically where their cases were not being resolved. And the trauma lasted far longer than it should have or had to last.
Well, this bulge in, you know, the demographics with the baby boomers coming of age and more people in nursing homes and senior care, that, you know, this has been predicted. We've known this for a long time. I have trouble understanding why we don't have the policing mechanisms to keep an eye on things. And correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, but this is not just a few bad apples. I mean, your reporting shows the scale. 25,226 allegations of neglect, physical abuse, unexplained serious injuries, and thefts. 97% never investigated? How is that possible?
Well, you know, I think it's important to keep in mind that, you know, there is irreversible harm caused when these cases are not investigated in a timely manner. You know, when you have a case of a physical or a sexual assault, a rape that is not properly investigated, where it takes months for state investigators to arrive, you know, victims forget things. You know, the witnesses move on. You know, the crime scene, you know, is compromised. It's tainted. The perpetrators go on and they work at other facilities. And then at some point, it becomes impossible for the county prosecutors to actually bring charges. So, you know, these delays that we described are not innocuous. There is real permanent, irreversible harm that's caused by them. And I think it's important to keep in mind that we just have to acknowledge that the problem has become too big for any one state agency, namely the Department of Health, which does a lot of great work, but it's just too big for one state agency to handle. Mm-hmm. And there has to be more collaboration between the state, between county prosecutors, law enforcement, senior care facilities, to get to the root of what's going on.
Chris, a listener has the same question I had. Why aren't local police departments getting involved? Why are they? I can't imagine they're ignoring reports of assault. But, I mean, this would be within their jurisdiction to be able to prosecute, would it not?
Well, in many cases, they are investigating. But I think it's important not to suggest that there's any one agency or government body that's at fault here. What we found is that in many cases, the county prosecutors told us, you know, that they were waiting for the outcome of a state Department of Health investigation into alleged abuse. And they waited and they waited and they waited. And when that, you know, final report would come, if it ever came at all, it could be a year or more down the road. And when you get that far down the road, it becomes difficult, if not impossible, to hold anyone accountable for what happened. Charges are impossible. So there just has to be more collaboration and better information flow between these various agencies. So I wouldn't put the blame at the feet of local police.
What advice would you have for those of us that have our parents, our loved ones right now in senior care? Is there anything, you know, going in we can do to lower the odds of our loved ones being the victim?
Well, clearly, I think it helps if you ask a lot of questions. You know, families need to watch the care of their loved ones like a hawk. That being said, you know, every family that we interviewed, and we interviewed dozens of families across the state, you know, that had been victims of this abuse, had taken an intense interest in the care of their loved ones. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about, you know, Clayton Broughton, you know, from Bemidji. You know, he was visiting his wife twice a day, and she still was sexually molested. So, you know, the burden of oversight, the burden of following the care of your loved one 24 hours a day cannot be borne by families alone. You know, this has to be a multi-agency effort to solve this problem.
So depressing. Do you think this is endemic to what's happening nationwide? I mean, is Minnesota an aberration, or do you think it's like this from coast to coast?
I think Minnesota is an aberration in some respects. I mean, you know, some of our laws around protecting vulnerable seniors have not kept up with changes in the senior care industry. You know, we looked at assisted living, where, you know, they have grown exponentially in size. And now, you know, assisted living facilities house twice as many people than nursing homes. And yet, you know, they don't have to abide by nearly the same level of government oversight and regulatory scrutiny as nursing homes. And many of our laws have not caught up with that fact that assisted living is very much off the grid regulatory-wise. You know, we looked at the fact that in many cases, people would complain about their care, complain about the abuse, and then they would get evicted.
Ugh.
You know, and that is not allowed in a nursing home setting, but it is in assisted living. So I think we need to take a close look at our state laws. And,
so legislation,
Minnesota,
new legislation is required to make this better.
Absolutely. But, you know, I wouldn't say just legislation. I mean, I think it's important to point out that we have some good laws on the books that currently at this very moment are not being followed. You know, one of the laws says that, you know, we are required to complete full inspections of assisted living facilities at least once every 3 years. And we found that fewer than half of the assisted living facilities in our state were actually being inspected under the time frame that is required under state law. So while I think it would be good you know, to look at our state laws. I think it would be even better to adhere to the laws that we already have. And I think this task force that the governor announced the other day is a great first start, but I would really hope that they get out and talk to people in these facilities, you know, not just industry representatives, but residents of these facilities and their families, and listen to their stories.
Chris Sears, reporter, Star Tribune, who did the legwork, much of the investigative work. I know you had a team on this, but if you haven't read the series in the Star Tribune, you owe it to yourself, you owe it to your loved ones to read this and to be, you know, fully up to speed on what the risks are and what steps you can take to lower those risks. So, Chris, thank you for some amazing journalism, and appreciate the additional perspective and context, and wish you the very best.
Well, thank you for having me.
You bet. And we'll be back with the one and only Frank Vassalero over at CCO TV. That's coming up next. Do you know who this is, Frank?
I don't. It sounds like a 90s hair band.
Well, yeah. Okay, listen. You were in the club, weren't you?
Was I in the club?
I think you were. Kiss?
Oh. God, Schaefer would be so upset with me right now.
I know.
He'd be, I was going to go there, but I wasn't sure.
So this whole Twins coming back to CCO, I just want to say for the record, I am very excited to be doing color commentary. Play-by-play, I think, I'm just not ready for that, but I think a little color commentary. Are you laughing, Craig?
You're our man in baseball.
It's a sign of the apocalypse if I start doing the color commentary for the Twins. But we are pumped to have them back, and we are pumped to be owned by Entercom. It was a good day for 830 and folks over at Buzzin'. And, what do you think of all this?
I think it's good for you guys. I think it's great. I think it's great for the listening public. I think that baseball and the Twins go hand in glove. but I really do. I mean, I just think it's part of our history and our tradition. And I feel bad for the Twins because, you know, they had, it helps them. You know, I think that they kind of got lost, and I understand what they were trying to do over there. But, you know, it's just an unusual fit, and I think it's going to be a really excellent fit for you guys like it was for 46 years before it changed.
Right. Well, listen, you sent over something that made me do a double take. Bloomington?
I thought it would. What? I thought it'd be interesting.
I was like, how is that possible?
Yeah.
But then the
do
more
you
want
to read it to the
it,
good citizens?
Well, you said that Bloomington has more hotels than any other city in the state, more than Minneapolis and St. Paul combined.
Yeah. Liz Collin is doing the story. I went to Liz and I said, are you sure about this? And she said, absolutely. And then we talked about it a little. So when you think about it, right? I mean, you get off the plane, you're in Bloomington. You go across the street and you're at Bloomington Hotel. So there's a ton of hotel rooms in Bloomington, more than any city in Minneapolis, more, in fact, than Minneapolis and St. Paul combined.
Is that a function of proximity to the airport?
I think that's part of it, but I think it's also, you know, the Great Mall of America, and I think they've been very intentional about things. So when they found out 4 years ago that they were going to get the Super Bowl, they started working on stuff with the NFL Select Host Committee.
Hmm.
So there are, you know, it would be very difficult to get a hotel room in Bloomington, although they say that some will maybe open up here in the next couple of weeks.
Get on a waiting list or
whatever.
Yeah,
but there's all kinds of things going on. Like all the hotels are going to have different kind of menus and different kind of themes for football, and they're really going to go all out. They're going to have different events going on there. The Mall of America is going to have stuff outdoors. At Nickelodeon Universe are going to have a huge party for 5,000 media members. So there's a lot of things going on. Yeah, as we as we look at the bold north, you might want to head south and head to Bloomington because it's going to be really a hub of activity because there's so many people staying there and they're really planning events all around it for them. But yeah, I thought that was interesting. I never knew that Bloomington had more hotel rooms than anyone else.
Very interesting. And
yeah.
if the thought of trolling the nearest mall Makes you want to have a seizure next Friday, Black Friday. You said there are alternatives on the slopes. We're talking some sort of ski deal?
I love this deal. You know, this is, you know, REI has that movement called the opt outside movement to get people to get off their rears on Black Friday and go outdoors as opposed to heading to go shop. So as part of opt outside, Lutzen and REI are offering free lift tickets on Friday, a week from today.
Free.
Free. If the but is you have to register online and you have to do it sooner rather than later. But if you do that, Lutzen will give you a free lift ticket for next Friday.
Wow.
Pretty good deal.
That is a very good deal.
By the way, they officially open Lutzen Mountain up in Duluth tomorrow. So they'll be open tomorrow. But, you know, free skiing, lift tickets aren't cheap, so that's kind of a nice deal. So,
I love Lutzen. I love heading up there. I love Spirit. I mean, we have a lot of great options here in the state. And one of those options is tuning into you and your amazing wife at 5, 6, and 10.
She is amazing.
Yep. You definitely, you're batting above your pay grade there.
Absolutely.
Aren't we
I made a joke yesterday, and everyone said, I can't tell you it now that I'm thinking of it. I shouldn't have brought it up, but everyone looked, and they said, too soon. Too soon.
You meant to think it, and...
Correct.
Yeah, I have that same issue.
Correct. But I didn't take any photos, so I've got that going.
That's
for me.
Good. You pray there are no photos.
Correct.
Frank, thank you. We'll be tuned in at 5, 6, and 10. Frank Vassalero.
Good luck with your color commentary for the Twins, my friend.
Counting the days.
There you go. See ya.
All right. Thanks, Frank. We'll be back with news of a revolutionary program at Augsburg University. That's coming up next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Doobie Brothers make me happy. Good, good memories. And thank you for tuning in and hopefully sticking around for the drive. Or even if you're not driving, we appreciate you having the radio tuned to 830. Do you realize that the Step Up program at Augsburg University is the largest residential collegiate recovery program in the U.S.? 105 beds in one dorm on the Augsburg campus dedicated to students who are in recovery from alcohol and other drugs. They not only provide a sober living environment, but also these students receive counseling and support every week in addition to group interaction. The abstinence rate over the last 20 years has been 95% while they are in the program. That's remarkable. And with us today to talk more about what's happening at Augsburg and whether this is a model for other similar programs is Michael Syme. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So why is this program necessary? I think I know the answer, but I'd like to hear it from you.
You know, I look at it as a parent and think, you know, if you have a student, a young person who's now newly in recovery, has been sober, and now you think about sending him off to college, that would be almost like my worst nightmare. And
right.
So to have a safe and supportive environment that they can come to that is clean and sober and they can be together with other students that are clean and sober, you know, it only makes sense. And it really creates kind of a unique environment within a collegiate system that that they could have all these other people that are in recovery.
Well, and this is, as I mentioned at the top, this is the biggest such program in the country. What got this off the dime? Why was Augsburg definitely ahead of the curve here?
Well, it came out of the need of one of the students who had just graduated. Toby Piper LaBelle was a student at Augsburg. He was in recovery, and he was being supported one-on-one with some of the teachers and counselors, but he didn't have that sober environment in that community. And when he got done with college, he said, you know, that would have been a lot easier if I had kind of a collection of people in recovery with me. And so Augsburg made the commitment to develop this program and, you know, 20 years later, we've had over 750 students come through that program. And like you said, stay sober while they're in college at a kind of an astronomical rate.
And again, what impressed me was not just the fact that this is a safe space, you know, where you're not going to be exposed directly to, you know, the fraternities and sororities and just the parties. I mean, and again, I don't mean to lump all sororities and fraternities in, but just the college environment really invites drinking, right? It sort of celebrates drinking as bonding. But here's another opportunity to learn coping skills for people in recovery and learn how to keep on going without relapsing. I think that's quite amazing. Apparently, the White House drug czar came to Augsburg back in spring of last year for commencement and said that Step Up at Augsburg is the gold standard for collegiate recovery. Got to feel good about that, huh?
Yeah. You know, I mean, you feel good when people recognize it, and we've been recognized around the country for it. Part of it for being the largest program in the country, you know, to have 105 beds all within the same dorm that's dedicated to students in recovery, that's important. The 20-year history, you know, is really a good thing, too, as a defining proof of concept. But also the idea that we've been able to help other people start their programs. And, you know, that's really what we want to be about, not only helping our students, but also showing other colleges the playbook on here's how it's worked for us, and however we can help you in your effort, we'd love to do that.
Best practices. Yeah, no, I think that's terrific. What advice would you have for parents young men and women who may be in recovery, may have had some issues with either alcohol or substance abuse, you know, other drugs? What advice would you have for parents, whether they're considering Augsburg or any other university? Can you just run down a few things as a parent that they should be considering as they send their kids off to school?
Well, if they are in recovery and they've already been through treatment or something saying that they need to stay sober, they need to be in some kind of a community, whether it's within the college. There are colleges that have off-campus support, but there needs to be a place for them to go that they can continue in their recovery as well as get a college degree. Mm-hmm. And so to seek that out, find that. You can find it from treatment centers, Hazel and Betty Ford, Fairview, The Retreat, or local ones that are in the Twin Cities that are important. But find a place where they can have a safe and supportive environment while they're in college, and then just stay close to them. You know, that's the biggest thing. As long as they know somebody's there, there's a net underneath them, and right, you know, somewhere for them to go to turn when they really need help. That's really the most important thing.
Stay engaged. What can you share in terms of a website for people that want more information on the Step Up program, best practices, and what Augsburg is doing? Is there a specific website you can direct people to?
You know, Augsburg University would have a website, and if you go on there and do the search for Step Up, mm-hmm, STEPUP, it'll pop up for you.
Okay.
And you can get in there and see what it's going. There's also collegiate recovery associations, and, you know, it's pretty easy to find if you just Google search those terms, and there are a lot of different colleges that are coming at it in different ways. St. Cloud State has a program. There are other colleges outside the area, too, Rutgers University and Texas Tech and Ohio State. I mean, there's a lot of colleges that have it.
Never heard of any of those colleges. hey, this is great. And congratulations to Augsburg for being ahead of the curve, for seeing the need and doing something about that, and giving these young men and women, you know, a safe spot to recover and to, you know, to find a way to move forward. So kudos, and thank you, Mike, for joining us. Really appreciate you taking the time to educate our listeners on this.
Thank you for letting us share this with your listeners, and congratulations on the Twins also.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, we're pretty, that is. We're very pumped up about that. Thank you, Mike. God bless. Have a great holiday, sir.
Thank you, Paul. You too.
All right, coming up on 4:48, that's Wicks and Jewelers time. Minnesota's exclusive retailer of the finest Swiss watch brands. Paul Douglas here. Jordan is back Tuesday. She's out in Vegas, probably getting in trouble right now with handsome husband. Hope they're getting into a little trouble in Las Vegas. That's why you go to Las Vegas, right? We are number eight. Eight with a bullet. Minneapolis, number eight. The odds of landing the next Amazon headquarters. Under the heading of Be Careful What You Wish For, the Wall Street Journal ordered the following cities by creating an aggregate rank across six categories provided by a company called Green Street. The rankings don't reflect many potential variables, such as level of tax incentives being offered. But number one, Dallas. Number two, Boston. Number three, Washington, D.C. Number four, Atlanta. Followed by Seattle. Well, that makes no sense. Chicago, Denver, New York, Nashville, Austin, and then comes Minneapolis. So we're something of a long shot, at least according to this one survey. And the other thing that I found an interesting story at priceonomics.com, where people spend the most and least on rent. Nationwide, the average rent in the United States is $1,249. Craig Schrupfer, my amazing producer, how much do you spend on rent?
I actually own a house.
Oh, you own a house.
And my mortgage with the association fee is about $905.
$905, okay. Yeah, $1,249 sounds kind of steep.
I'm actually not surprised by that for rentals in downtown areas. Most places I look like down here for a new apartment, it's going about $1,200 or $1,400 a month.
Really?
Yeah.
For a one-bedroom?
Yes.
Wow. California came in first, the most expensive state in the nation to rent, outpacing Hawaii by nearly $200. I guess that's not a big surprise. California, $1,900. L.A., the most expensive city in the U.S. to rent. Good grief, $2,600 a month. And L.A. residents also pay the highest percentage of their income in rent, almost 24% of their income. Four of the top five most expensive cities are in California to rent. The cheapest state, West Virginia, $800. Toledo, Ohio, the most affordable city in the U.S. to rent, $550, the average rent there. By the way, three of the top five most affordable cities to rent are in the Midwest. Minnesota, if you're interested, came in 22nd on the list with an average rent of $1,200. Yeah, pretty close to the average nationwide. Anyway, thought that was vaguely interesting. You watch, if we do get Amazon, in the unlikely event, everything is going to become more expensive. Tune in. Next hour, we have an interview with Thad Levine, GM of the Twins. Stay tuned.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.